Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Simcast, your weekly source of sim racing news, general tomfoolery, and host topics. Whatever we end up talking about sometimes is what ends up on the show. Of course, it is US week, so I am, of course, your hostess with the mostest, Mr. Ben Williams. And joining me as ever, my own version of Buddy the Elf, Gooey Satterley. How are you doing tonight, Gooey?
Doing wonderful, Ben. Thank you. Although, don't ever do the hostess with the mostest thing.
Why?
Just don't.
I kind of liked it.
Yes.
I figured you would.
Yeah, and joining us on tonight's show is an actual real-life friend of Lewis, which I was surprised to hear that he has as much as anyone else was.
Well, friend is a stretch. I'm sure he can admit as much, too. Everybody, meet Mr. Matt Strand of Satellite Racing. He is also a modder of sim racing games, which we're going to talk to him extensively about. So, Matt, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Very excited to dive into that, but we do got to do a couple housekeeping things real quick. Just at the start of the show, this is episode 49, which is, where has this year gone? And at the same time, this year feels like it's lasted forever. Remember that you can follow us on Twitter at Simcast Radio using the hashtag SimcastRSL to tell us what you think. If you have topics you want us to talk about, or general, hey, I really enjoyed the show, and things like that. And of course, all four of the hosts here are members of the collective. Also, remember to get your votes in for the 2021 Simcast Awards. Just a general reminder of what the categories for this year are is Game of the Year, Teaming Game of the Year, Turret of the Year, Mod of the Year, Peripheral of the Year, Esports Driver of the Year, Esports Team of the Year, Esports Series of the Year, Content Creator of the Year, and the Sim Racing Community Award. Remember that we will be announcing our own nominees and the winners during our Christmas special next week on December 23rd. So you can head over to our Twitter page and the Collective Facebook group after tonight's show and have your say on who you think should be nominated or be victorious in each category. And again, tell us who you want and why using the hashtag SimcastAwards. So, Matt, how did you get into modding? Let's just start with a general question like that.
Well, this started up, oh God, probably 6-7 years ago. I think I was on the F1 Central, F1 Community, whatever it was called, way back in the day. I was trying to have someone help me build the Formula 600 cars that are team races. But no one had time or they wanted a pile of money for it and everything else. So it's like, all right, I'll just teach myself how to do it. So I just went, got a student copy of 3DS Max and just started moving dots around until it looked like a car. And then it kind of took off from there, you know, working on physics, did a little bit of sound work, but being half deaf didn't really go well. Some implementation stuff into the game, but that again didn't really go that well, so I kind of leaned on friends of mine to do those two things. Mm-hmm. But the modeling and the physics work was really fun for me, and it's kind of like a fun side hobby whenever I'm not running around doing whatever.
And it is, like you mentioned, the physics side of it. So it's not a simple matter of getting a shape of a car and then just throwing it in the game and like, hey, I got this car in there now. It's a lot more to it in the aspect that you have to obviously put in the characteristics of each individual car, which that wouldn't rely on a lot of trust of what other previous drivers or people who have currently driven the car, as in the case of what you're going through now. I'm not too far off the base there with that, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of people that do that. Like, someone last year released a 1990 GTO Camaro with double A-arm rear suspension. It's like, no, man, that's not how this thing works. You know, but the model looked really pretty. So
going into the model, there's obviously a few different ways to do this. And a lot of people, like myself included, whenever I first started hearing about modding till I saw your exploits on it, it's not so much of a thing of being able to go out, buy a scaled down version of the diecasts and do a laser scan on it and put it in the game. It's obviously a lot more detailed than that. So,
it is and it isn't, depending, cause I have done, we just tried it last year, actually. I took some of my 1/18th scale models and I had them laser scanned, but no one ever tells you ahead of time. But when you're laser scanning, you're not actually making a model. It's just millions of points floating in space that you still have to build a model into. So it's more like tracing, basically, at that point. Yeah, so you take the point cloud that you come back with from the laser scan, and then you build your model up inside of that, and depending on the quality of the model, sometimes you'll have to tweak your model a little bit to actually look right, and you know, so on and so forth. But it is possible to do. This company that we used out of North Carolina, they just hooked us up with it because we'd done some other stuff with them elsewhere. But I think for the general modding community, it might still be a little bit pricey. But it's coming down with technology just blowing up lately. It's coming down every year. So I think it's not too far off from being a normal thing.
Right on. So now let's say, for instance, you have a card that you don't have a model to directly work off of. Basically, you just have pictures. How would you go about doing something like that?
Well, what I did was look up the general dimensions and just put cylinders in for the tires. And then I literally just start with a flat floor and just start extruding stuff up until it looked right, more or less. I put a couple bounding boxes in just so I know, like, hey, the nose can't go past here because I know the overhang is this much. The rear wing can't go past here. The top roll bar can't go past this. The rest of it, just make it look good, sort of thing.
It's literally defining your box and then not exceeding the limits of said box.
Yeah, exactly. So I just did that with my first car. The second car, I found better pictures with the side view straight on, the top view, and then you could put them on a plane and kind of shape it that way too.
And this is where the AutoCAD drawings, I would imagine, would come in handy if you can ever find them.
If you can find them.
So what all have you modeled previously, Matt?
We've got a few that we're working on right now. Totally not a Ferrari 333 SP. Riley Scott's, Panos's, some of the race cars on our team, like the 600s, the little prototype 2 cars that we run. Let's see, what else? The 95 Trans Am cars, the not a Mustang and not a Camaro, stuff like that.
Yeah,
a Mustang and a Camaro.
Yes. I imagine you can't call them that because you don't have like selling rights and things like that.
Yep, pretty much. I've reached out to them because I do work in Trans Am.
Oh, really?
So I was trying to get them like, hey, we can release your current TA2 cars, which will sell really well, and we can have this historical version. Like, let's get the naming rights. And Trans Am was all for it and then just disappeared on us. So it's like, okay, well, never mind.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, you were crewing on Rafa Matos's car, right?
Yeah, for the, not his car specifically, but for Peterson Racing. So we had Rafa Matos, who just won the championship again. Adam Andretti and Doug Peterson.
Well, then there we go. Mm-hmm. So going into what you're currently working on, Matt, because we were talking a little bit about this before the show. So currently tell us what your current mod is that you're working on. And it's very mouthwatering. I could say that you've already mentioned a couple of them already.
It is. It's a recreation of the 99 sports car scene, basically. We picked 99 because it's basically dead center of that era. So cars from 99 can either go to 2000, 2001, 2002, or we can go the other way with 98, 97, 96. Mm-hmm. Basically, it would cover everything from 95 to 2004, or no, 2003, sorry. 95 to 2003, we could cover about 55% of that whole era with the 99 field.
And that's including all series. So that would be America Le Mans, European Le Mans Series, Le Mans 24 yep. Hours, or Grand Am. Or actually, at that time, it was still USRRC, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And then, yeah, that's a whole ton of cars. So I've actually seen a couple of them. You've got the 1998 BMW and its 1999 guys, obviously. So the more modern, traditional BMW front bumper. You've gotten mm-hmm. that one, the LMP. You've got the not a Ferrari 333 SP and the not a Porsche 996 Cup car that I've seen.
Yeah, we have the, we're calling it the Matteo 333 SP, actually. We have that. Let's see, what all do we have modeled for that? We have the Matteo, we have the Riley, we have the B98, starts with an L. We'll call her Lucy, I guess. Actually, I don't know. I guess I'd call them Lola since they're bankrupt, right?
Is that a thing? Well, they were bought by Multimatic, so.
Okay, well, I just got sued.
I don't know if Multimatic actually still owns the rights to Lola or not, but.
Okay.
I knew somebody named Lola once, so we'll just say that it's named after her.
It is named after her. Remember to send all complaints you may have about tonight's program via Matt Hunter on Twitter.
Does that mean Hunter's going to get sued, or am I going to get sued if they're sending it to him?
I don't want to.
Nobody's getting sued.
Semantics, just
no lawsuits, I swear.
Yes.
But yeah, prototype-wise, we have those three. We have, like you're saying, the 98/99 BMW. We have the actual 99 BMW that's, I want to say it's basically done. It just needs interior work. Model wise, and then GTs, we have the Vipers. I have a Corvette done up. Guys are working
Viper
on
was the other one. I did see. Sorry.
Yeah, the guys are finishing up the 993s right now, and we have, like you said, the 996 Cup that's already in game and everything.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we've actually said what platform this is for. This is our Factor 2, isn't it?
This is R-Factor 2 and Assetto Corsa.
Oh.
There we go. So, and that brings up another question, and you kind of indirectly answered it, but obviously if you create a model for one type of game, it can easily be ported over to another one, more or less, with minor tweaks, I would imagine.
The model can, yes. The physics and sounds is a little trickier.
Okay.
Especially if you're going from AC to R-Factor, but going from R-Factor to AC makes it a little easier because Assetto Corsa is, in general, easier to mod.
Okay.
Sounds, I'm going to be honest, I don't even know about sound implementation, but we got a guy for that, so I don't have to worry about it.
I was going to ask, how exactly do you get sounds down onto it? But I guess we'll have to go talk to that other guy.
Yeah, I don't know. That's your deep insight from me on sound work.
Oh, we'll have to find out who he is and bring him onto the show at one point here. So, so obviously this project's been going on for a few years for you now, Matt. Roughly, if you had to give or take a little bit of it, how long would you say it's going to take you to get to a release point, or dare I say the whole thing completed for that matter?
Oh God. The whole thing completed. Do you mean just 99, or do you mean like the whole era that I want to do?
Just 99. Let's just say just 99.
Just 99. If we really get our ducks in a row, I think we can get it out next year. To get every car out next year, it's going to be pushing it, but I think we could if we really put the hammer down kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Realistically, it's going to be earlier, 23.
Okay.
We've got right now 1, 2, 3, 4. We have five models up and running in game, but I'm still paying visits to the real cars to try and, you know, get the suspension geometry and wheel rates and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Try and get that as accurate as I can. So that's kind of the time consuming bit right now.
Right. I had another question, but I completely forgot what it was. So
I have a question that I can throw in. So you just said the whole era. So what is, like, do you just want to replicate every single car that raced in in the 1990s, or what's the whole big picture that you want to do look like?
I doubt we'll get every one of them, but you know, because there's random one-offs like the Cannibal that ran in 97, 98 and stuff like that. And as much as I want to do it, it's not very high on the priority list because it would be a great meme car for racing around. But it's just, we're trying to do the popular, quote-unquote popular stuff first and then kind of work our way down from there, mm-hmm. which is why we started with the Rileys, the Mateo.
The cars are used frequently by customers.
Yeah, so like just doing those four models right there, that's like 40 cars on an ALMS grid in 99. You know? Yeah. So that was kind of the idea behind starting with them and then going down to the more niche stuff like the Audi R8s. While popular, there's already a version of them in Assetto Corsa, a pretty good one at that. And also there's only two to three of them on a grid for any race.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the most in R8s in any race, I think, was a maximum of four.
Yeah.
And those were only the major endurance races, yeah.
Yeah, that was all the privateer guys, too, later on. It wasn't even the factory guys.
Yeah. My question is still escaping me on this one. I did have a good one, too. Yeah, that's typical of me, isn't it?
It's the best question ever. And it's gone.
While Louis tries to think of another question, what would you say is the most difficult part when it comes to modding in general? Excluding the sounds thing, since we've established that you just don't know how that works.
Honestly, I think it's personal. Like, mm-hmm. some people would say it's modeling because it's very intimidating.
Yeah.
I'm still not even that good of a modeler, but it's good enough that people are like, wow, that looks great on Facebook. So we go with that. For me, it's unwrapping the cars and taking them from a 3D shape into a workable 2D texture for Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
That we've got a guy for that too, and I don't know how he does it because it's just it's so mind bendingly tedious to me.
Yeah. I don't remember the technical term for it, but being able to make liveries is kind of one of my favorite things to do. So I always mess with that kind of thing. If you're familiar with the Gorilla Mods GT4 cars, I've messed with those a lot.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's always interesting. I used to do a ton of that too. Mm-hmm. I used to do a ton of painting stuff too, but then I picked up the modeling side of it too, and I haven't really painted since. I kind of miss it though. It's fun.
That's my scary part of me getting into modding, which I've slowly but surely getting into it. But my stuff's just very simple on creating little mini championships within the game and car sets, really. That's about all I'm getting. So, if I'm not mistaken, Matt, and I believe I've asked you about this before, is there some people can sample some of your work, and you had a hand into the Apex modding Mercedes CLR and Toyota GT1 that's on the marketplace or workshop, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah, I was working with them for a while and basically trying to do like a collaborative thing, like, hey, if you take care of those special cars for LM, we'll do, you know, all the other stuff that ran in our series. I was there for a while, and then there was a gentleman in the group who, let's just say, I didn't really get along with very well, and I didn't want to bring the group down, so I left so it wouldn't create any drama or anything like that. And then the one guy from the group messaged me and was really cool about it. Like, hey, you know, I understand. I get why you're leaving. I'm not going to use the word, but he was not a nice gentleman.
Okay. We'll leave it at that one.
Yeah.
So he said to do the right thing, you know, we're not going to use any of your models, because I had not a Ferrari, the Riley and the Lola already modeled up and was going to use them in their 99 versions for the Le Mans stuff, because it was just real minimal tweaks to bodywork and things like that for what they needed. But then once I left, he kind of said, you know, you can take the models with you. I understand. I get it. When you release yours, I'll come back to you about bringing them all together. And then we've been working on all our GT cars and getting them up and going, and they're working on other historical stuff right now. So the 99 grid just hasn't come together yet.
But it's in the works by the sounds of it, and going on strong.
It is very much in the works.
So, so another general question. I mean, obviously, you mentioned earlier that you have to get to the cars. Now, I would imagine a historic meetup is whenever you're not working, I would imagine is essentially a gold mine for you.
It is. It's difficult for the actual historic weekends because people are busy.
Mm-hmm.
So I know some of the shops here around Atlanta where I'll call the guy, be like, hey, when this comes in, give me a call. I'm going to come basically hang out with it for about 5-6 hours. He's like, all right, no problem. So I've done that a couple of times. I did that with the Riley and Scott. I did that with the Not a Ferrari. I did that with, actually need to do that with a buddy of mine that has a Viper in his shop. So it's easier for me, because then half the time the car is already apart anyway, so it's way easier to dig around and get suspension stuff from. I don't have to go to the racetrack like, hey, can I take half your car apart so I can weigh how much this upright is?
And then someone says, get this guy out of here.
Yeah, pretty much.
I remember a couple years ago at the Classic 24, I think I was talking to you about it, and you said one gentleman was running the Riley and Scott there, and you just went up to him and was like, hey, do you mind if I measure how long this particular panel is? And he said, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was getting the splitter length off of it.
Yeah.
And he was just sitting there on pit road.
How many reference photos do you think you've taken for this project?
I have a whole hard drive for it.
A dedicated hard drive just for this.
Yeah, it's a 250 megabyte external hard drive with just pictures.
Yeah, that's a lot of pictures.
Just not the Riley and Scott. He's got 500 other hard drives for all the other cars.
I mean, the Porsche is really easy. I took like 3 pictures of them, and you know, they're fine.
Well, it's Porsche. They're all the same.
Yeah, they totally didn't blasphemy. Have 800 variations of every 993.
No, totally not. It's not like it's based on a Beetle or anything.
It's an Aero Beetle.
I can hear the Porsche fanboys coming for me.
I was going to say, that's fighting words.
I was going to say, Ben, you're lucky I'm not trying to climb through this microphone right now and strangle you.
Mm-hmm.
You can send all complaints on Twitter to Matt Hunter.
Yes. I think I've been suppressing my
trained him well.
I've been suppressing my Mopar nature just to not just keep asking questions about the Viper since I've been sitting here.
Ask away.
Well, there you go, Ben. You just got the green light.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so... so many questions. So little time.
Look at that. He's starstruck. He can't say anything.
I know. Now he's nervous. You hear this?
First of all, can I get copies of these photos whenever you get time with the Viper?
Sure.
Okay.
There you go. You want to see, you know what we need to do? I just need to go ahead and get my old auto art Chamberlain Viper down from the attic and just ship it to Ben and be like, here, gawk. Okay. But of course, that's not a Dodge Viper, Ben. It's a Chrysler Viper. They weren't Dodges over in Europe.
Semantics. It's a Viper.
They're all the same.
It's like saying this is a Roadrunner, not a Charger. They're basically the same underneath. And in the Viper's case, it is the same.
All Vipers are exactly the same.
All of the questions that went through my head actually did get me to a general one. So after you've done the modeling, how's the physics part work? Is that something that you're really involved in? Is it just like, okay, let's try these numbers and then load it into the game, see how it handles, see if there's something that needs to be adjusted along those lines? Is it much more scientific than just trial and error? I guess is what I'm saying.
I'd say in the R Factor 1 days, and even Assetto Corsa, you could do trial and error. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that feels fine. But with the way tire modeling is in R Factor, it just takes so bloody long.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to, I've needed to be a lot more scientific with my approach to it, because just trying to generate the lookup table for one tire running on my PC takes anywhere from 18 to 20 hours for a trial version, and then a quote unquote finished version is around 40 hours.
Goodness.
Yeah. But wow.
Yeah. So when I do get them dialed in, I'll boot up another two or three PCs that I have in the house because I'm a hoarder, and basically do like, you know, this one's doing the soft compound, this one's doing medium compound. So it still takes 40 hours, but it's not 40
it's
hours
a
and then
single
40
hours. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I can't imagine that modding for a game that's still currently being updated like R Factor 2 is an easy proposition.
It's not. It's mainly the tires, because the Excel sheet that they put out for physics work is actually really in depth and really intuitive for doing the calculations for you.
Mm-hmm.
Where you plug in basically, here's all the suspension points I measured off the car. And then it tells you, okay, this is what your wheel rate is, this is what your natural caster is, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Same thing with the aerodynamic tables. You know, back in R Factor 1, you used to have to get external programs. What was the big one? Kangaloosh, I think it was called. And that's how you could basically see your aero table, whereas this Excel sheet just had it built right in.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have, you know, various ride heights, various speeds, different air densities, all that kind of stuff. And you'll see how it interacts with the wings, the splitter, diffuser, everything.
Yeah.
So when R Factor does release a new tire model, which apparently is quite frequent, because before they did the first virtual 24-hour, they updated the tire model for all the info that Michelin gave them, and now they're in the middle of doing it again because of all the information that Goodyear is giving them. How far back would that set the whole project?
None, because modders don't get any of that information.
Okay. So it's still...
We're in the same boat that we were, whether they have the info or not, because nothing's really changed on our end.
Okay, so it's literally, they just have that sheet that you're talking about with what your baseline is for all your stuff whenever it comes to your casters and your cambers, and then it's, I guess, the car individually would just handle different because it's a different tire, to put in quotes?
No, it's more, so the tire has its own entire Excel sheet.
Okay.
You can do suspension, aero, literally everything on the car except for the player tires for R-Factor. You have your own Excel sheet for that, and in that sheet, you can set up radial tires versus bias ply. You can set up the direction that the plies go, how thick they are, what materials you want to use. Like, you can literally, they have a option in there if you want it to. You can make a tire out of cotton. I don't know why you would, but it's there because it has the material properties built into their list.
That's a good conclusion, but okay.
Yeah. The information that they're getting, I'm assuming, is general things like ply thickness and directions, how many layers they're using, the specific properties under this kind of load, and, you know, that sort of thing. Whereas we don't have that info, so we're still just in the dark doing what we can.
But now we're actually lucky how in depth R-Factor really is when it comes to tires.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy in depth. I'm actually pretty lucky because they're still there. I just went to my garage real quick to look. I went to visit Jim Downing and Dennis Spencer's shop to look at a couple of the kudzus for this mod that we're doing.
That's awesome. And
the Spencer shop was nice enough to give me a front and rear tire off of the kudzu. They're literally brand new tires from 1996, still have the stickers on them. Obviously, they're 30 years old and you can't race them, but they're still technically brand new.
Paddock tires.
New old stock.
Yeah, so like I have them sitting here. It's like, okay, I could cut these apart and, you know, look at the materials and the plies and everything like that, but it's like, these are really cool and I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So they're still just sitting in the corner waiting for me to get to the car anyway. And then when I start doing physics on the car, I have a big decision to make.
So 1996, let me guess, they would be good years.
They are. 16-inch uh-huh. good years.
There we go. Well, that's a really cool thing as well. So anybody who doesn't know, dear listeners, Mr. Downing was known for making the kudzu cars and was real big on keeping Mazda alive in North America and prototypes, but he's also really known for as the inventor of the Hans device. So.
Yep. Quite literally saved my neck.
Yeah, it saved quite a few people's necks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Forever grateful.
Yeah. So, and how many lives you've saved as well for that particular device. I think I pretty much got all my questions that I had in mind here, Ben. I don't know if you got a couple more for Matt.
I think I'm about tapped with my questions as well. So how many cars do you say there still have left in the overall project you still have to do? I think you answered that one already, but
they're all in various states. Like the Riley is, I want to say that the Riley's modeled and it's unwrapped. We have a couple of liveries on it. The physics, I have to do some CFD work on the rear wing still, but the physics for that are pretty close. But then you've got something like the Audi R8R that ran Sebring. We haven't even touched it. So we've got...
You got a couple of different models to make of that one too, because the one at Sebring was slightly different than the one at Le Mans.
Yeah. Well, I'm focused on this side mainly.
Right.
If Apex... I think Apex has the Le Mans version, actually, from memory. I'm pretty sure they had it modeled. They just hadn't done physics on it, because that's when they started doing the... I think the 917 and the 512. Mm-hmm. They were working on. I think they started working on them and just kind of shelved the Audi at the time.
Oh, cool. So where will people be able to find the huge mod whenever it becomes available?
Whenever it becomes available. We're a little team called Pit Stop Modding Group. You can find us on Facebook, where we host it. We don't really know yet. Probably Steam Workshop or something. Mm-hmm. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But you can find our group on Facebook.
Well, don't post there a lot. Modding group, right?
Yes, I don't post there a lot because I'm very negligent. But it does exist. There are pictures on it. We are real. I swear.
Well,
an initial search inside there, you definitely don't come up right away. So, got to scroll a little bit. Well, hopefully we get you some traffic over there and then get some followers over there for anybody who's interested in the modding side.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. Hang on. I'm sorry. Pit Stop Modding Team.
Modding Team. Ah.
Yeah.
False advertisement on my part. I was mixing it up with TJ's thing. He's the Pagoda modding group.
Ah, there we go. It's been a minute since we had him on there on the show as well. Actually, I don't think we've had TJ on the show since we were branded Toro Radio Show. Anyways, oh gosh, looking at the onboard of that BMW, which is the first one, that's just stunning. Absolutely stunning. Alrighty.
Oh wow. Yeah, if I don't stop looking at this, I'll just look at this the rest.
I was going to say, we're going to be gawking for the rest of the show, and that's all you're going to hear.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on board, Matt. Be sure that we'll be on the lookout for that mod whenever it comes available, and I'm assuming we'll probably have you back to talk more about it whenever it launches.
Yes, sir. I'll be around.
Well, I know where to find him anyway.
Yeah.
I'm sure it scares the crap out of him that I do know that.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Slightly terrifying.
Yep. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Matt. It's great to have you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Louis, we do have some sim racing news to talk about.
Yes.
I know it's a weird occurrence for this show, but hey.
Well, considering it's this close to the end of the year, it's very hard to come across news anyway.
Very light news week this week. In fact, the first thing we're talking about was actually last week's news, technically. Matt and Jordan just didn't get to talk about it.
Last week's news. Which title are we talking about?
We're talking about Gran Turismo 7.
Oh, okay. Yes, I know exactly what this is then.
Yeah. So for those who played Gran Turismo 6, going back in time for a little bit here, Gran Turismo launched a wide variety of what they called the Vision GT cars, which were a collection of off-the-wall, money is no issue, this is what your car can look like in the next 5 years, 10 years, and in some cases 30 years, and they told car manufacturers just to go wild. Some of the particularly interesting ones were the Bugatti Vision GT, which was basically the Chiron with they took the Chiron and put a LMP style back end onto it. There was, of course, because I am the ever-present Mopar fan, there was also the Dodge SRT Tomahawk Vision GT, mm-hmm. which I'm not sure I can accurately describe what that car was, because A, unfortunately I never got to drive it, but B, it's like we're talking about a car that produces over 2,500 horsepower, apparently has a 144 degree 7-liter V10. It's like really far off into the future style, ridiculously powerful car that
obviously not too far in the future, because actually, if anything, it'd be in the past, because nobody makes V10s anymore.
Yeah, no one makes V10s anymore. But we'll get to that. There's also a Peugeot Vision GT, which is pretty much along the same line. There's a Hyundai Vision GT. There was a Jag, the Fittipaldi. There was a Chaparral. BMW and Volkswagen had their own versions as well, but
I think Audi is actually the only one that's made. I don't know if it's a fully working version or if it's just a replica one of their Vision GT cars that they mm-hmm. released about a year ago, actually.
Yeah. I mean, the Toyota FT1 Vision GT basically became the Supra GT500 car.
Yes.
Basically. But you get the general idea. There looks into the future of what these cars companies will be producing.
So that brings us to the news part.
This brings us to the news part. While they didn't do any during the Gran Turismo Sport days, as far as I'm aware of.
Yeah, they did.
They did?
Yeah, it was all in there.
They didn't produce any new ones, though, right?
If I'm not mistaken, there was a few of them that were...
There might have been... Okay, I can't remember.
Like, right, Audi's now was new, which is the one that they did a reproduction of.
Okay. Well, they've already announced, with getting down to the point of this whole thing, they've already announced the next one, which is the Porsche VGT, or Vision GT. The VGT is, and I'm just going to read the little blurb off of their press release, is intended to be a vision of the Porsche's future design direction while staying recognizable as a Porsche model today. In doing this, Porsche has taken inspiration from the Taycan. This is the all-electric car that they produced a couple months ago now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have the basically single LED in the back. You have really racing in style cockpit with electronic heads up displays. You've got really low profile car in general, and it's pretty much all electric.
Well, literally is all electric because it's a virtual version.
Well, it's an electric car in the video game. That's basically what we're getting at here.
Yeah. Just my opinions on it. It doesn't look Porsche to me. I mean, literally, it looks like they took the same car or built half a car, took that same half, duplicated it, spun it around, and put it on the very back of the car.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it can go forward or backwards, and it looks almost exactly the same, in my opinion.
Wasn't there a Porsche that famously was more, apparently supposed to be more aerodynamic going forward, or going in reverse, than it was going forward?
That's pretty much any Porsche.
No, there was one in particular. I can't remember which one it was. I'll look it up later, but anyway. I mean, I can kind of see where you're going at, but also, I can see elements of the 918. I can see the Taycan that they're talking about, which is pretty much just the roof, and the rest of it is... I don't know how to describe it.
This looks more like something Fanatic, as a lot of people know, and it doesn't say Porsche to me.
Mm-hmm.
The one cool feature that I do see on it, which I'll never actually get to experience in real life, but I'll get to watch it on my TV screen whenever I get the game on release, is the cockpit door actually opens up similar to, or actually exactly the same as the KTM Crossbow GT cars, to where it's just one big giant hatch that opens up.
Yeah. You have to go crawl across the bodywork to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one car I was surprised that never actually showed up into any sim racing game was the BMW Gina.
BMW Gina? I don't think I'm...
It is a car that can literally change its shape. So whenever you get a second there, listener, go onto YouTube and look up the BMW Gina if you do not know what it is.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, it's a car that can literally blimp at you.
Yeah.
So basically, the whole bodywork is fabric, for lack of a better term, which it essentially is. And literally, everything on the underside of the car would mold to the shape of the fabric, essentially. And whenever you turn on the headlights, it's literally like a pair of eyes that are opening. And that same concept.
Mm-hmm. Didn't it open up in the middle to reveal the engine? Something along those lines.
Kind of like whenever you have your sports bag and you open up the zipper to pull it open to look inside all of that way. So
okay, BMW, why don't your cars look like this instead of the oversized kidneys that we have now?
But in reality, the ultimate place that anybody could have driven that car was on a Gran Turismo or a Forza, but it never showed up in any of those, which I was actually kind of surprised about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's not like people don't have access to one-off cars. I mean, we had the Mazda Fury in Forza for a few years, mm-hmm. and then once the original Fury got destroyed, that was the only way you could actually see the car anymore was via the video game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, BMW has done a Vision GT before, like I mentioned, but it's mm-hmm. it's very M2-esque. Like the modern, what the M2 looks like now is basically what that car looked like.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point, actually. I'm surprised that car hasn't made it into a game.
Yeah. So, oh, and apparently this article with the Porsche has updated some specs of the car. I don't know if you want to hear it. So the motor power information above also revealed that the car will accelerate to 100 kilometers an hour, 62 miles per hour, in 2.1 seconds, and 200 kilometers an hour in 5.4. So that suggests that the total vehicle weight is somewhere below 4,000 pounds, but we'll need to wait for the official confirmation in the game. So yeah, that's booking.
That's fast.
And that's not even on a pair of slicks.
No, it's not even on a pair of slicks. That's semi-slicks, I guess we can call that.
Vision GT slicks.
Yeah. I've always liked the idea of these Vision GT cars, but in the same realm, and I said this kind of about like other cars and video games before, it's cool that they exist, but when am I ever going to use it?
You'd be surprised.
Mm-hmm. Were there like specific championships that had the Vision GT cars racing in them?
I was going to say, if it's like Gran Turismo Sport, actually, because there were so few of prototypes, modern prototypes, they actually threw all of them in to that. So you had Vision GT against LMP versus Group C versus LMP 900s. They threw them all in there in the same group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, was kind of a cool concept, but at the same time, it's like, this is not realistic at all.
Yeah. it looks cool, though.
I give it that. It does look cool.
Yeah. And it's going to be available whenever the game launches on March 4th.
Yes.
Scary thing how close that is.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I might have to reset up my PS4 so that I can play it at launch.
And that's the good news, is that even if you're not able to get the new console, you could still play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been trying to get my hands on the Xbox Series X, even though that really doesn't make sense for me to have one. But, you know, I kind of want to see what the Horizon games, like Horizon 5, looks like on the new gen console. And mm-hmm. because I've been playing on my Xbox One too many Series X's and whatnot.
Xbox Series 1X, Series X 1, 360, 360,
Duke, one. Whatever. General Xbox terms. No, my Xbox One X, which is the 4K capable one. That's what I've been playing Horizon 5 on. But I wanted to get my hands on a Series X. And it's basically like, you can't get your hands on one right now, still. It's very much still that shortage of, I think it's microprocessors that is causing everything to be delayed right now. Something along those lines. But I'm glad it's going to be backwards compatible. I'm wondering if Forza is going to do something similar with Forza Motorsport. Whenever that,
I think they
comes
pretty
around.
Much don't have any choice.
Yeah.
So long as the shortage keeps going, I think they're not going to have a choice.
Yeah. Speaking of Forza Motorsport, Transition Master Benjamin Williams, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh, going to Rivals.
Yes. we're just talking about console games because all the PC games are like, it's in the year. We're done.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, I'm looking at the clock, so I'll make this pretty quick since we didn't get that much information. Chris Sasaki was again on Forza's monthly update stream, Forza Monthly, a show that I've actually been on as well.
Just rub it in, why don't you?
I'm sorry. I can't fault Forza too much. It was the only being involved with Forza was the only way I actually got to meet John and kind off in person. So,
That was a good thing.
Yeah. I also met, this all comes around, I also met Chris when I was there as well. So,
excellent.
Anyway, Chris Sasaki came on Forza Monthly to talk about Forza Motorsport. You got to make sure it's Forza Motorsport, not Forza Motorsports, Russ.
Yeah.
Anyway, he actually came on.
Slap you in the wrist with a ruler.
Say it right. Slap. He actually came on the update show to give us some information about the next suspension model for Forza.
Yeah, reading the article, I mean, it does say that it's the most elaborate one that they've done yet, and what I think they really, that's what they try to put across, but unfortunately they really took away from breaking that news to saying that Chris knew nothing about it, suspension at first, but really educated himself on how to make it, or how certain things works, and which four things they implemented in the game, I guess you could say.
Yeah. I mean,
that's pretty much what it kind of came across as to me, anyway, at least. That made it.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I do. To some extent, though, your typical Forza player who is a fan of motorsports but doesn't quite understand how everything works, kind of like, you know, me, being able to learn all that, it's going to be kind of the similar journey that their players are going to go on whenever it comes to learning how this new suspension model is going to work. The four aspects that he mentioned that Lou was talking about was roll center, anti-dive, anti-squat, and dynamic force propagation. Basically, what it comes down to is that they're basically redesigning everything in the Forza model so that it has the most realistic handling as possible, and it's going to be pretty much the best handling Forza game that there has ever been.
Which is cool.
I'm very interested to see how this is going to handle. Kind of like what I mentioned in my part of the review for Horizon 5, was that even though the Horizon games feel grippier than motorsport games usually do just because they have a bit of an easier physics model, Forza Horizon 5 feels grippier than Forza 7, even beyond that, usually, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if we're already kind of experiencing some of this suspension reworking in the background on the Horizon game that we just don't know about yet.
I would imagine some of it did get implemented, because people knew that the new Forza Motorsport was being developed long before they knew a Horizon game was coming out. Yeah. And actually, we all expected a Motorsport game before Horizon came out, and then next thing you know, here's Horizon, we're still working on Motorsport.
Which is unfortunate.
That tells me that there's probably something that's crossed over on that, for sure.
Probably, yeah. But again, we're still going to be waiting for an undetermined date to be able to get hands on this new Forza title.
I'm going to probably say mid to late 22.
I'm suspecting fall 22.
Yeah.
There was apparently a leaked date, or a date that was leaked a couple months ago, but, you know, we don't like to talk about necessarily all the leaked information.
Yeah, we don't need to do that.
Yeah. But anyway, as we have only about 5 minutes left in tonight's show, let's go ahead and roll to the Esports Roundup of the Week, brought to you by The Gaming Athlete.
Esports Roundup of the Week, brought to you by the Gaming Athlete.
Yes, it's time for this week's Esports Roundup of the Week, brought to you by the Gaming Athlete. Head on over to thegamingathlete.com to learn more about how to reach athlete status in gaming by maximizing your performance and restoring your well-being. Once again, that's thegamingathlete.com. I'm going to head and take this first one, Louie. As you know, we've been covering the NASCAR Road to Pro Contender Series the last couple weeks, and this week is no different. Round 6 took place at the virtual Darlington Raceway this past Tuesday evening. Despite being a race at Darlington, it was remarkably clean, surprisingly. Ultimately, the green flag would be out long enough for different race strategies to be played out. The final 50 laps were tense as race leader Dylan Allred tried to make it to the checkered flag on one less pit stop than everyone else. He had enough fuel, but unfortunately, the newer tires on cars such as Blair Lampard and Caden Honeycutt would see the pair smashing his lead at every turn. With 20 to go, Lampard had bought Alt's lead down to 4 seconds, and despite Lampard's rapid gains, the tire advantage between the two of them would equalize in the final few laps, all but halting his progress. Alt would hold on to take victory in the number 40 car by just over 2 seconds, with Lampard taking second, Colin Kaister wasn't taking third, with Caden Honeycutt and Ashton Crowder completing the top five. The season will conclude next Tuesday at Texas Motor Speedway.
That means it should be featured on the Christmas special, if I'm not mistaken.
Depending on how much we have on the Christmas special, which I've looked at everything we want to talk about, we might not get to it.
Well, so, hopefully we do, because I think that'll be the last piece of esports news that we have for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, moving on, we have F1 esports. Would we like me to talk about that one there, Ben?
Yes, I would.
All right. Josh Adoo would take shock pole position for McLaren Shadow in only his fourth race this year, with the 2019 champion David Tonisa taking second. They would maintain their positions at the start, but Tonisa would take the lead on lap 6, only to be repassed 3 laps later on lap 9. After pit stops, Adoo was still the net lead of the race, with 2017 champion Brendan Lee making up several places in the pits. Meanwhile, championship leader Opmeer was slowly working his way through the traffic. He would pass championship rival Lucas Blakely after Blakely had made contact with the back of Tonisa and damaged his wing. Tonisa would pass Lee on lap 19, but as Opmeer tried to get past as well, Lee forced him onto the grass, resulting in Lee receiving a warning and Opmeer passing him on the following lap to take third. Tonisa would eventually hunt down Adoo and make a lunge tour on the last lap to get past. Tonisa would take the win ahead of Opmeer and Rasmussen, with Adoo finishing outside of the points after hitting another car and spinning when he rejoined the track. With Blakely finishing very low in the points, and the championship is down to a battle between Opmeer and Rasmussen, with Opmeer in the lead by 21 points. The final round should be finishing up right about now as we are on air.
Mm-hmm.
So congrats to whoever won the race and the championship.
Yes. And assuming we do have time to talk about it, we'll talk about it during the Christmas show.
There we go.
Yes. So that brings us to the end of another US week. We actually did not get that off topic throughout the show for once.
Well, we had a very interesting discussion and a lot of insight into the modding world, I would say. Mm-hmm. I'm sure all of our listeners out there probably have a lot more questions now that they realize that it's a lot more bigger deal than just scanning a car and throwing it in there and being like, hey!
There it is. Hey, it's just that easy.
But yeah, so... not.
Yeah. So remember, the next week is our Christmas special. So you'll get to hear all four of us.
That's going to be craziness.
For the first time this year, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think we've done it since last year's show.
Yeah. And we'll also have a couple guests as well. But we'll talk about more about that next week. That brings us to the end of the Simcast for this week. It also makes us the only show not to mention the F1 championship this week.
We were until just now, Ben. Good job.
It doesn't count. Anyway,
it totally counts.
Everyone have a good week. Be safe out there. And bye for now.
Eat more tacos.
Just had to get that in there, didn't you?
Had to. It didn't do it all show. Just when the listener thought they were away from it, then they get it right at the end.
Bye, everyone.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.